The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one, Jeremy Schilling at JT Schill. If you'd like more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. This is a tough one. The Boston Red Sox lose on crochet day again, 6-2 against the Detroit Tigers in game three of a four-game set. It's back-to-back performances of Crochet not looking his best. This is going to be, I think, a very long, long year. And we find ourselves just a game away once again from being amongst one of the worst teams in baseball. And the worst team right now is the New York Mets that have lost 11 games in a row. We're a game and a half out from that, which is absolutely insane to think about.
Yeah, man. We're not the Mets, so I guess it's not that bad. But the worst part about it, Charlie, for me, is it's not fun to watch. It's not fun to watch. It's like yesterday you fall down early. Bayo clearly doesn't have it against Skubal. And it's like, it's, you know, I watched the first half of the game with a Tigers fan. And I'm like, this game's over. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, this thing's over. And then today, they give up the run, we get it back, and we're like, okay, let's get this to the bullpen, and it's just the whole thing was a slog. Crochet fell apart, as we'll talk about in a second, and it was just, I found myself watching the game in the ninth, and my business partner was here, and he looks at me, and he's like, why answer for it? It's not, the team sucks, they're not fun to watch. You know, there are years where they're not the best team, but they're fun to watch and it's exciting baseball. This is not it. This is terrible.
Well, for me, I think you think about, okay, when you got your ace of your rotation, you expect to have a couple of 1-2-3 innings. We had one in the five that he had. Garrett Crochet undeniably had the worst appearance of his career in his last appearance, just absolutely getting torched. It was terrible. It was awful. This one wasn't much better. It obviously the runs were cut in half. He was able to get out of the second inning, which is great. But I mean, there's no punch in this team. There's absolute. And for me, the thing that hurts the most is if you can't win with Crochet, who are you going to win with on a consistent basis? Like, this is supposed to be your gimme win every five games, and this isn't a gimme win now. So this is tough. This is going to be tough.
Yeah. So speaking as to Crochet, he was okay. We were in the game going into the fifth inning, and I'll talk more about the fifth inning in a minute, but it just goes off the rails. So his final line is 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs. 2 walks and 8 Ks. He throws 93 pitches. He actually, I think, lowers his ERA to 7.88 from 8.58.
It's sad.
So I have, as to the game itself, I'm sitting there on the fourth going, fastball at 97, check. 8 Ks, check. Like, he's back. And then the disturbing part of the fifth was how hard the contact was. Just like in the first inning 5 days ago, this isn't walk, hits batsman, infielder boots a ball, and then they get a timely hit. That's how you have to beat an elite guy, which we were unable to do against Skubal. This is a goddamn laser show. The ball that got hit for a home run was the deepest part of the Green Monster off of one of the advertisements on the stanchions. I mean, that thing was an absolute missile on a day where it's raining, it's cold, the condition should heavily favor pitching. Those swings in the fifth looked like it was 80 degrees in a dome. So that's a big concern. Number two, then grand scheme, away from the game for a second. The one thing you could count on coming into the season was Crochet Day. Like, that's what we had in 2025. No matter what was going on with the club, no matter what the offense was going to do, he was going to pitch you late in the game. He was going to be dominant. He wasn't going to have a lot of traffic, a lot of high chances for them to, you know, runners in scoring position, less than two outs. He avoided it. It's one of the reasons why he finished second in the Cy Young. One is, I think he's effectively already pitched himself out of that award. All right, with these two starts, 17 earned runs in two games. But all of a sudden, my faith is shaken that he's healthy. I listened to a lot of, at least the first half of these games on the radio, and Lenny DiNardo and Will Middlebrooks have both been pretty concerning with their commentary. Lenny DiNardo, who was a former pitcher for the Red Sox, does a little bit of TV, does some radio, has some concerns about his mechanics. One is he's not lifting his – this is from Lenny DiNardo, okay? He's not lifting his leg up, which was used to be his – or it still is, but his signature pitch was like his toe came up to the top of his head. And his arm slot is lower. And he also commented – that he believes that he's coming across his plant leg more than he was last year. And I don't know if that's affected velo, movement on the pitch, both. It's easier to pick the ball up out of his hand or what. But when Crochet didn't go well, it wasn't because it was balls all over the it was all over the place. It was because he nibbled. He fell behind in counts, and then you could get him out of the game in the fifth or sixth inning, and then you go beat the Sox bullpen. He's the one being beat. He's the one being beat, and it's the disturbing is the loud 110 plus contact coming off the bat. It's a problem, man.
So there's a couple things too. Crochet is not throwing. It does not look like he's throwing nearly as hard this year as he was last year. Like that just, it doesn't look like it's happening. And if someone were to say, oh yeah, I mean, he's still throwing 97, 98, it just doesn't feel like it. I mean, the contact is crazy. Like you mentioned, Dingler is the guy that hit the home run that you're talking about. Three-run shot, deep center. Kind of annoyed, actually, because I thought Sadon was going to catch it, and then he didn't catch it because it went over the wall. He just like tried juking out the runners. Like, why? You don't have an absolute cannon. You're not going to throw anybody out from where you are anyways. And that was his first four-hit game. This guy's never had a four-hit game in his career, and that's pretty hard to have, right? Dingler's having a decent year so far, so maybe credit him. Maybe this is like his coming out party. But the issues that I'm having right now, you want to compare, you should never compare, right? But here we are doing it right now. Garrett Crochet last year was 18-5 in 32 starts. In 205 innings, he struck out 255 guys, and he allowed a total of 59 earned runs. So far this year, through five starts, he's 2-3 now. He's now given up. Over 25 runs, assuming I'm getting that correct. I might be missing one, but let me see. He's at, all right, 21 earned runs. So I feel like he's almost like he's going to more grossly exceed his numbers from last year. It's not even going to be close. Like it'll be a blessing if he can get his ERA south of four. That's where it feels like everything's just falling apart. Like, is this guy capable of getting 10 wins this year? I don't know right now. And it's not necessarily only on him, right? You got to get some runs on the board for your guy. And that also isn't happening. You know, we'll talk about this in a second, but when your number of hits for your team matches the number of runs alone for your opponents, you're probably losing that game and handedly. So you got six hits in the game and they were like squirrely hits. They weren't they weren't great outside of Wilson Contreras, who did everything he possibly could. But I mean, he had five hits outside of the first inning. He had a home run, nobody on base. And that's it. You weren't able to score another run until the ninth inning from, you know, Caleb Durbin, couldn't think of his name for a second. And, you know, this is our team right now. Crochet is, you're right. I don't know if he's going to be able to be still in the Cy Young conversation right now, because he is a mess. He just is not 100% there. I don't know if it's a lack of focus. I was really hoping that this week we were going to see 7+, 8 to 10 strikeouts, 2 earned runs maybe. But even with 2 earned runs, he still doesn't get the win. He still does not get the win with 2 earned runs. And this is going to be a recurring theme for the Boston Red Sox this year. Your ace goes out there, didn't unfortunately pitch like an ace, but still has an ERA on the moon. And I'm still a Crochet supporter and lover, and I really hope he can bounce back. But this is going to be a very, very trying time. 21 earned runs so far through 5 starts, only a couple wins, and your ERA is, as you said, what, north of 7? It was like 7.8, something like that, right?
7.88.
Yeah, that's atrocious. That's just not going to get the job done. Crochet's got to figure it out, because it starts with him. And if he's annoyed or PO'd or whatever, he better figure it out, because there is nobody in front of him. He is the front of the line. So if it's not working with him, good God, God help us.
The silver lining here, Charlie, is that Watson comes in and Anderson, they throw 4 combined innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, and the key guys in the bullpen don't throw. So
great.
It's a silver lining. It's not great.
Sure.
But that means the balance of the bullpen should be available if they can get a lead tomorrow.
You know what? Maybe we just sacrifice the ninth inning. Maybe we just eliminate our closer and have Aroldis Chapman be an opener 3 times a week. Just have him go through your 1, 2, 3 the first time, and then bring in your starter until we can figure it the hell out, because this is awful.
The pitching. So I was about to say, well, the strength of this team is it's starting pitching, but it just hasn't been.
You're right, though. It is the strength.
I don't think you do that, because you have one, you have guys you're paying. Okay. You're paying Crochet, you're paying Sonny, you're paying Suarez, and you're paying Bayo. All guys.
I'm saying out of anger. That's all.
No, I know. But it's something that Cora has done in the past. I just don't expect it, because if there's somebody that has to miss a start or go on the IL or just frankly gets demoted, there's options there. But your point is it's really frustrating. It'd be one thing if you were losing these games 2-1, 3-1, and the starting pitching's been consistent, and you can say, well, look, we have the pitching's there. We're going to hit when it heats up. But we can't even say that, because the guy that we could count on, that we thought we could count on, has major concerns at this point. To have 2 starts this bad, it's really concerning.
Well, this whole month has been bad. I mean, against Houston, he also wasn't great. He's lost 3 times this month. He allowed 4 runs against Houston. Couldn't get him the game there too. So, I mean, we've looked at the baseball savant chance and charts. And if you're in the red, you're obviously doing great. And if you're in the blue, that's really not great. And right now, his ERA is very blue. It's very cold. He still has a great fastball, a high chase percentage, and his extension is insane. He's predominantly a 3-pitch pitcher, and he will mix in a sweeper and a changeup, a lot of cutters, a lot of fastballs, and sinkers. Literally, that's 82% of his stuff. So it's different than, you know, your sinker first guy who will throw a sinker probably 40% of the time. Terry and I yesterday were talking about how Brian Bayo, 75% of his pitches were sinkers and cutters, and that was it. So all you have to do is sit on one of them and you're going to get on base. But what's concerning for me is that we're still trying to be too perfect. We're still trying to be just baseball Jesus. And, you know, last year I thought, you know what, maybe we just build on that and have a repeat performance. But right now there's a chance that he could exceed his loss number all of 2025 by the end of next month. That's sad because we can't score runs. So I think that's enough about Crochet. Why don't we get into the offense here really quickly? The offense, as we talked about, pretty lethargic. You had obviously a solo home run from Wilson Contreras. You had an RBI double off the wall from Caleb Durbin. Unless he's hitting like a single or double off that green monster, I don't know how I'm ever going to feel about that man. But another brutal game where you're, you know, top of the lineup, nobody's getting the job done. It's just terrible and it's inexcusable. You can't, you know, we're getting, you know, the first two batters that come up to the plate, they're both getting retired, and it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. How many times are we going to be that team that can't even get a runner on base? Like within your first two batters, I want a runner at second base. Figure it out. And if you have a leadoff single, your next batter, at least for the time being, should be bunting them over. Anthony, 0 for 3 with a strikeout. Monasterio in the two slot. Unbelievable. 0 for 4, two strikeouts. Contreras, outside of that solo home run, nothing. That's 1 for 11 with a solo home run and four strikeouts. Then your next three guys, you have Story, Abreu, Rafaela, 3 for 10, nothing special, one double, five strikeouts. Rafaela, three strikeouts. Story, two more. They're literally more than a third of the outs of the game for you are strikeouts. No advance, no bonus, nothing special, and nothing that brings any fear to any opposing pitcher. Framber Valdez has not been that good this year. He's been borderline bad, and I mean really bad. This was his best performance of the year. Go figure it happens against the Boston Red Sox. He hadn't hit 7 all year. So far, for the month of April, he had 8 strikeouts coming into that game. He had 7 today. He had 8 strikeouts in 18 innings. He'd given up 9. And it's just painful. It's just absolutely painful. There is nothing special about this team right now. We're getting absolutely worked. And, you know, it doesn't seem to matter what, you know, lineup you put out there. It's just the same garbage. You're benching the players you shouldn't be benching. Duran is on the bench again. I don't get it. Meyer's on the bench again. Say what you want about him. Yoshida was on the bench again. I can't. I mean, this is brutal, and it's going to continue to be brutal. I mean, Dingler, for example, his 4-hit game today, the Red Sox only had 2 more hits than Dingler combined. It's just, I mean, it's laughable at this point. The chants for sell the team aren't loud enough. Henry hasn't heard it. And he's not being affected by it because people are still dumb enough to buy game tickets. Ridiculous.
So we are who we thought they were, which was a team that's not going to hit home runs, that needed to create pressure on defenses, timely hitting. If you listen to this show last year, I was on it all year. The situational offense is absolutely atrocious. The only difference this year is they're not finding themselves in those situations. And by that, I mean first and third one out, man on third, less than 2 outs, man on second, nobody out, ground ball to right, get the guy to third, sack fly, you score a run without a subsequent hit. However, this team isn't in those situations. So I can't even say they're a bad situational hitting team. Although I suspect they are. So you have absolutely, and I'm not going to go on this topic today. I'm just going to say it and move on. The roster construction is abysmal. The flexibility is not, it's just putting a different body in there. It's not flexible in that it creates better matchups. And then you have a team with really no power, and you're not creating any pressure on the defense. Your biggest offensive weapon from that perspective is Jarren Duran. And he wasn't on base today, in part because he didn't play. So I don't know. 2 years ago, he was an everyday player. He is no longer an everyday player, but you can't you just can't create that offense sitting around when on a rainy day when there's nothing happening. So the middle of the lineup all have one hit. None of them are strung together. And it's just a punchless offense. It's not fun to watch. And finally, they don't seem to have a game plan. Contreras' last at-bat today was like, I don't know if it was shadows or what, because this obviously hits a home run in his first at-bat, but by his last at-bat, he goes take strike one, take strike two. No, he swung at strike two, but he was so far behind it, it was like Little League. And then the 0-2 pitch, he fouled the ball basically out of the catcher's glove. It really felt like he wasn't seeing the ball. So I don't know if it was an approach. I don't know if he was checked out by that point in the game because of the result was clearly what it was going to be. And that's just one example. There was an at-bat, I think it was Roman's third at-bat, where according to the K-zone on Nesson, it was a middle pitch, and he takes it. So are you arbitrarily deciding just to take a pitch? Or are you up there on a pitch-by-pitch basis trying to find the best pitch to drive the ball? Because if he was doing that, then what the hell was he looking at taking a middle 0-0 pitch? And, of course, that's the best pitch he sees in the at-bat. He ends up, I believe, grounding out. He did hit the ball hard up the middle, but the shortstop was behind the second-place bag. And I'm just so frustrated by, like, you know, and the guy who seems to have an approach, Yoshida, also did not get on base today, also in part because he was not playing today. It's just extremely frustrating, Charlie. This team sucks the life right out of you. So I don't know what else to say other than that. I love baseball. And so NBA and NHL are still going, so it doesn't sting quite yet, but I still watch every game. I do not look forward to watching these games. And it sucks. It sucks the fun out of the summer if this is the product we're going to have, because they are not a fun team. They're not an exciting team. It's punchless.
No. Yeah, it's – I mean, you're now at a point where if you're – imagine having like a young son or daughter that you're trying to get into baseball. If you're a Boston fan, are you going to put this game on and show your son or your daughter, hey, this is my favorite team? Like, yeah, this is my favorite team, but do you want them to see what it's like? I mean, dude, third inning, Roman Anthony, Monasterio, and Contreras, 1-2-3. Struck out swinging, struck out looking, struck out swinging. Like that was just, you know, par for the course. And then Story in the fourth inning, same thing, another strikeout. So you're making someone who's been mid all season long look like a Cy Young candidate. You're making Framber Valdez look like the guy that you're supposed to have on the mound right now. But you have a punchless offense. You have guys that don't know how to take walks, which is so infuriating, because it's not like you're getting wall ball doubles every time. It's not like you're driving in runs every time. You can't even talk about the situational baseball because it's not applicable. As you mentioned, Jeremy, this is one of the worst teams I have ever seen. It is so bad. And here's the thing. We have one person who was commenting earlier, who said, let me see if I can find it really quickly. Boston should have kept Bloom. We love him in St. Louis, from Rich Whiteman 2755. Really quickly, the St. Louis Cardinals are sitting 13-8. That is, they have the hottest win streak right now. And I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. They have almost double the wins that we do. And it's wild. Them in Cincinnati, I'm actually pretty shocked that both of them are doing as well as they are. But we find ourselves yet again a game away from being one of the worst teams in the American League and worst teams in all of baseball. And as I was alluding to earlier, the New York Mets were on their way to snapping that 10-game losing streak, but they wanted to continue the suck just a little longer, and they managed to lose their 11th straight game. They're now 7-15. The Red Sox, who have been winning and losing, are 8-13. So a game and a half, and you've been steadily sucking. They've just been flat out blowing. The difference is the Mets will turn it around. They will figure it out. The Red Sox, with the current roster, it's not happening. This is not it. This is the worst product we have seen in a very long time. And some of it, self-inflicted. On top of that, the other issue is, and Terry and I talked about this, you've replaced power with prayer and hope. And hope is not a strategy, and neither is prayer. That doesn't get the job done. This isn't like Angels in the Outfield where you're getting help from the heavens above. This isn't a movie. You're not getting home runs. We can say all we want about the San Francisco Giants being one of the worst teams because they can't hit home runs. Guess what? We're right there, folks. We can't hit home runs either, except for one or two guys. That's it. You can't score runs. You can't knock anyone in scoring position because they can't get to scoring position. So this team will continue to just be absolutely brutal. It took us a while to score 5 or 6 runs in a game. And if you look at it, I'm looking at it right now. From the start of this season, how many games do you think the Boston Red Sox have scored 5 runs or more?
I'll go 4.
Let's see. We're at 4, 5, 6, 7. We're at 8. We're at 8, and we've lost a handful of those games. A couple of 6-5s, a couple of, you know, just brutal experiences. And we're also becoming the win by a run merchant. We beat Milwaukee by a run. We beat Detroit by a run so far. And the blowouts haven't been going in our favor. We're losing 13-6, 6-0, 6-2. It's just, that's the Boston Red Sox again. Like, incoming 70-plus win season, here you go. We're not winning 80 games this year. It's just not happening.
It's not good. It's not good. And if Crochet's hurt, it's a problem. If he's not hurt, he's going to find it, figure it out. Suarez was really good in his last start. They have options. I'll tell you one thing, just as a miscellaneous note. The player that's probably frustrated me more than anybody is Brian Baio. Can this guy, who is, everyone loves to talk about how he's a ground ball pitcher, all this guy does is nibble. I watched Framber Valdez cut, move, sink, run, elevate in the strike zone all day long and have almost complete control of the game. Why can't Baio just, like, he's got a decent cutter. He's got a very good sinker. He gets soft contact, but he nibbles. In this game a couple days ago was the highlight of it. He can't get past 4 innings, not because he's getting roughed up. He refuses to get guys out with 4 pitches or less. Like, is it the worst thing in the world to have a two-bounce hopper to shortstop and a 6-3 putout? Like, why do you have to nibble with every single player? Move the ball within the strike zone and get people out with soft contact. It's exhausting. He drives me nuts. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I've brought this up multiple times before in the past. Lou Maloney said this, that year over year, Brian Baio started throwing the sinker harder and faster, which created more revolutions and less movement. And because it created less movement, it went from like a proper sinker to like a two-seam fastball, feels like, because the movement had deteriorated that much. We're talking like 2-3 inches of movement, like a baseball. And those swings and misses that batters were actually experiencing and having and going through, now they're making contact because that extra 2 to 3 inches, even a half inch to an inch of dip or drop, is enough for a batter to go from missing the ball to making proper contact with the ball. Now imagine 2 to 3 inches of movement being removed. They're going to absolutely torch balls. And that's what's happening with Brian Baio. So Brian Baio is not a strikeout pitcher. To your point, Framber Valdez, I mean, predominantly a sinker pitcher, throws a nasty curveball that we saw quite a bit, and he's been known for it. And you're right. He does move the ball around. He's not just trying to make every single pitch count. There's got to be some purposeful waste pitches the Red Sox don't do that. We don't waste pitches intentionally. It's just happening unintentionally, and it's causing us to make more mistakes. And because now we're falling behind in a count, now we have to throw something, we have to groove one, and we're going to get burned. And it sucks that it's happening with Crochet too, because this is not going to last. We have one commenter here saying, I hope this team loses over 100 games until they start caring about winning again. Hey, I get it. I get it. I understand where you're coming from, Graham. But here's the thing. You don't have to hope. Hope is not a strategy, dude. Just sit back and watch. This team is going to come pretty darn close to losing a dumb number of games because we don't have the proper offense, and our rotation is unfortunately not going to get the level of support that it needs in order to win important games. It's going to be tough.
Well, Charlie, how do you think tomorrow's game is going to go, pal? We got Jack Flaherty versus Sonny Gray. Both have largely stunk. Flaherty's 4.05 ERA, 1.4 whip, and Sonny Gray is 4.43 ERA, 1.28 whip. And if you think this matters, it's going to be another cold day in Boston, 11:10 start. It's going to be 46 degrees at first pitch.
About Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty's already played for a World Series team. He knows what he needs to do to get it done. He still doesn't have a win, so go figure, that's probably going to happen on Marathon Monday. This game is so vitally important for the Boston Red Sox to win and play their absolute hearts out. Flaherty, over his last two starts, 11 and two-thirds, has allowed two runs on seven hits. He struck out 13. He's given up one home run. Sonny Gray, over his last two starts, 10 and a third, has given up five runs, only three strikeouts. So he's not a strikeout guy. He does give up a lot of runs. One of the games was against Milwaukee. He didn't allow a run, which is great. But I don't know what to expect from Sonny Gray now. Like, this is a guy who's been in the league for a very, very long time. And I expect more. And I was literally telling myself, okay, split the first two. You win Crochet Day, and then hope that you win. You can take three out of four. That's the hope, right? The hope. You lost Crochet Day. You lost another game in the first two, so you're now down to 1-2. I don't think this team has the offense on a consistent basis to get it done. Your rotation has to be near perfect for you to win. Your team couldn't score a run for Ranger Suarez, who went eight strong innings, didn't allow a run, and he did not register a decision. That is so unfortunate and just awful for him. You can't not feel gutted for Ranger Suarez, but that's the thing. Your rotation has to be perfect.
So look, in a perfect world, this could be a much different climate. From the fans' perspective, if they go win tomorrow and win the Yankees series, neither of those things are going to take place. I think they will lose tomorrow. More on that in a second. I think they'll lose the Yankees series. And they're now five out. I think they'll be, six, seven games under 500 as we get towards the end of the month. So, there isn't anything happening that would make you believe that we're on the verge of turning this thing around. And that's the biggest concern. Like I said earlier, if you're getting offense but not pitching, you can say, look, we're going to keep scoring. The pitching's going to figure it out. If we're getting pitching, hey, we're going to get people out. We just got to figure it out on offense. We're doing really nothing well. And so the only thing that can change the perspective for tomorrow is that Sonny Gray finds six, seven innings, two earned runs, and gives the offense a chance to get to four runs. I just don't see it happening. This team is just completely lifeless. Who the hell knows what the lineup's going to look like? I assume Moss is going to be in there. Duran's going to be in there. And who knows if Cora thinks it's the day to give Anthony a blow. So you don't know what the lineup's going to be. So I guess I could reserve some commentary once the lineup comes out at 9 o'clock in the morning, but they're just not playing good baseball.
Which players that should be in the lineup are not going to be in the lineup? Who do you think is not going to play? Duran and Yoshida have to be in the lineup. They didn't play today, so they're going to be in. I think they'll take out Contreras.
The last time I was on the podcast, I talked about urgency, and I'm not saying burn it to the ground and you know, don't have some sort of rotation, but you have to see Anthony, you have to see Abreu, Duran, Yoshida. And Yoshida, I reserve judgment on, but at least he's one of the guys that has an approach at the plate. Story's got to be in the lineup. Meyer's got to be in the lineup. You're going to have Wilson Contreras at first. You know, and really the way the catching's going, you might see Wong for offense. Although Narvaez did have a double down the line today. But the only other change I would personally make is I don't have any need for Durbin. So I might play Montessori over there, but that's what I think. That's the thing with the lineup. It could be anything. Could be the day for Rafael to sit and Anthony needs a blow, and you know, it doesn't make any sense to me, but we'll see. It's part of the fun is waiting for the lineup card, Charlie.
I'm not sure who's going to be out, but at this point, nothing surprises me, and it's brutal. Absolute brutality. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah. So
2 seconds. It's going to be brutal, dude. I mean, the Yankees series, I mean, you were the first person that I heard say you can't lose, or no, excuse me. You can't win a division in the first month of the season. However, you can lose it. And it's happening. It's really happening, guys. We are going to be out of it by the end of April, beginning of May, because we're going to get these 5-6 losing game streaks to happen probably pretty regular. We'll lose series. We're, instead of making up series of, you know, winning 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, splitting series 1-1 or 2-2, you're going to lose 2 out of 3, lose 3 out of 4, split 2-2, and you're not going to gain any ground. You're going to continue losing ground. And there's going to be a couple of 1-3s and 0-3s, and you're going to lose a crap load of ground. That's just where this team is headed. It's just absolute brutality.
The only silver lining there, Charlie, is that no one's running away with it yet. So, like I said, you go win tomorrow, you win a series, you're getting towards the end of the month, and it's not been great, but you're not out of it. So right. They got to find a way to get to 4 or 5 runs and have a good start by Sonny Gray tomorrow.
That's going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball, at the very least. Two speaking for the 7. I know that you and I are both feeling the same way. This has been absolute just carnage and chaos, but not the right way. Our team's not getting it done, and it doesn't look like there is an end in sight for the damage. Hopefully we can salvage Marathon Monday and then do something miraculous against the Yankees, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I know you're always going to say go Red Sox, but at this point, can you still say it with a straight face?
Red Sox.
All right, there it is, guys. Everyone have a great one. Again, if you're looking for great daily content, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can check some fun articles. Everyone have a great one. Take care.